So we're back for the final segment here with David Ray Griffin, author of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. Welcome back, David.
Glad to be back. I should say I am from Oregon, and so I'm particularly glad to be able to help out your station.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Now, I wanted to spend this last segment talking about the commission's dealing with the military response. But I got a request from someone who called into the back room to briefly talk about one aspect of the impact at the Pentagon, which we'll sneak in for a minute or two here at the front end. And that has to deal with the fact that nobody could find any parts of a Boeing 757 at the Pentagon. How did the commission address the fact that no plane parts could be found there?
It addressed it in the same way that it addressed most issues. That is, it just ignored the whole thing. It ignored every piece of evidence that suggests that what hit the Pentagon had to be something other than a Boeing 757, and therefore could not have been Flight 77. So you would think if they had good evidence to refute that, you know, they know these theories, and they call them outrageous, and by this French crackpot, and, you know, they make all these slams. But here was their chance to present all the evidence against these claims, and they don't take it. So that makes you suspect they don't have any evidence. They do not mention, for example, that they could have easily cleared up the problem by getting the videos. There was a video. There were many videos, of course, all the time, filming anything that would come close to the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
There's one across the street at this regular gas station that the military uses. He reports, the manager there reports that about 5 minutes after the Pentagon crashed, the FBI swooped in and took the video, and it's never been seen publicly since.
Well, the
commission could have just subpoenaed it and said, let's show the people. That video would show that what hit the Pentagon was a 757. Of course, they don't do that, and they don't even mention that those videos exist.
Well, and the gas station videotape was not the only one confiscated. I believe there were three, one of which was from a hotel in the area. When the Pentagon did release still frames from a video they said captured the impact at the Pentagon, not only was it virtually impossible to really tell what's going on in terms of something hitting the building, but it was dated September 12th
of 2001. There were so many problems with it. It's just incredible. But if they've got it, why would they release only a few frames from
right.
it? And even some people who were somewhat experts of this looked at the frames and said, oh, they're what made me first suspicious. So it's a very strange little episode.
So let's use our remaining 10 minutes or so here to talk about the military response on 9/11 and how the commission dealt with not only versions 1 and 2 of what the military said happened, but version 3, which they announced to the world at the final 9/11 commission hearing, thereby either committing themselves to have perjured themselves for 3 years, or were now committing perjury by lying before this commission.
Yes, this in some respects is the most incredible thing about the commission report, but it all hinges on this. What they do is create a brand new timeline, almost out of whole cloth, that doesn't conform to any stories that had been coming out in the previous 3 years. So to fill readers, listeners in on what you were talking about, version one is what the Pentagon and NORAD were telling the first couple days after 9/11, which was, no, we didn't send any planes up at all until after the Pentagon was hit. In other words, about an hour and a half had gone by. Well, people were criticizing them, saying, well, gee, your standard
yeah.
operating procedures call for the FAA to notify you whenever there's a possible hijacking, and then you're supposed to scramble planes to intercept them. And normally this process takes 12 to 15 minutes, and yet here 30 or 40 minutes went by, and then an hour and a half, and you didn't do it. So suddenly we get a second story, which came out on September 18th, which served as the official story until the 9/11 report came out. And according to this story, yes, the FAA did notify the military, but the FAA, being composed of bumbling fools, notified it always very late, and so there just wasn't time. The military did scramble the planes. They raced to the targets, but they always got there just a little too late. Well, critics had gone through and looked at those timelines and said, now, just a minute, if the FAA notified you even this late, there was still time for you to have gotten there for the second tower. You should have stopped Flight 175, and you surely should have stopped Flight 77 long before it could have gotten back to Washington. So the commission goes through and changes and creates a new timeline and says, oh, no, that was all wrong. These NORAD officials who came in and testified to these times, they were wrong. Everything they said was incorrect. Here's the truth, with no support whatsoever other than their own word. And according to this third timeline then, they got 9 minutes notification for the first flight, and that wasn't enough because it took 8 minutes for one NORAD official to call another one to get permission to launch airplanes. And then they got absolutely no notification whatsoever of the other three flights until after they had crashed. And so the second half of my book goes through that in great detail and shows how each of their changes contradicts not only dozens of newspaper accounts that have been given in the meantime, but many eyewitness testimonies.
Now, a related issue to the military response is the issue of the phone bridges, which are basically just video conferences. You know, they're conference calls, but video that
according... Well, some of them are video conferences. Some of them were just telephone conferences.
Okay.
But in either case, conversations were going on. And, yes, this is another very important thing, because what the military had to claim then to the 9/11 Commission was that, look, we didn't know anything about these other flights, so how could have we intercepted them? Of course, that ignores the whole fact that the Secret Service knows everything that's going on from the FAA, also that the military has a radar that is far superior to the FAA's radar, so they're not dependent on the FAA. Once they have any inkling there's a crisis, they would know more than the FAA would. But in any case, ignoring that, they claim then that they couldn't have learned anything from these teleconferences from the FAA because for various reasons, and one main point is they just got started too late. And here is where you have extreme contradictions. For example, the FAA, it's standard procedure for the FAA to initiate a conference whenever there's any kind of problem like this going on of possibly hijacked airliners. Now, Laura Brown, the communications person at the FAA, has said the FAA teleconference started at about 8:50, just a few minutes after the first tower had been hit. The 9/11 Commission report says the FAA teleconference didn't begin until 9:20. In other words, they put it 30 minutes later in order to be able to claim that they could not have possibly learned about Flight 175 from that teleconference. Likewise, the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon itself evidently started its own teleconference, and the guy who was put in charge of that, he will not say when it started. He says, oh, I can't remember, which is incredible. This was the biggest day in his life. Laura Brown first testified that it started at 8:20 after her superiors refreshed her memory. You know what that means. She modified that till 8:45, but still, Tom Flacco has said that a source at the Department of Transportation said Laura Brown's first figure was right, 820. A high NORAD official said it started earlier. Richard Clark's book has it starting at about 915. But nevertheless, the 9/11 Commission report says it didn't really start until much later than that, not at least until 929 or 930.
Given that we got about a minute or so left here, I don't really want to kind of try and dive in and ask more about this.
Let me give one more example then.
Please, yeah.
The Cheney affair, which is the other most outrageous thing in the because everybody knows that Cheney was in charge, and he's the one who gave the shoot-down order. The question then is, what about all the evidence that the military actually shot down Flight 93 that crashed in Pennsylvania?
Right.
The commission goes to great lengths to try to make that rule that out. So whereas everybody else, including Norman Mineta, who was Secretary of Transportation and was there in the underground bunker with Cheney, says that Cheney was there by 9:20 or earlier, the 9/11 commission report says, oh, no, he didn't get there till 35 minutes later, almost 10 o'clock. And then he didn't give the shoot-down order until 10 or 10:15, in other words, after Flight 93, whereas Richard Clark, in Against All Enemies, says that the shoot-down order was given maybe about quarter till 10, and therefore in plenty of time to have shot down Flight 93.
Well, and it also contradicts Norman Mineta's testimony before the commission on May 23rd of 2003, which I referenced nearly a couple hours ago, regarding, you know, his timing and when an order was given. It doesn't say shoot down order. It regards the approaching plane to Washington and a guy asking, you know, as the plane approaches, do the orders still stand, asking Vice President Cheney. It's only assumed that it's a shoot down order of the plane, but there's evidence.
This evidently was related to whatever it was that was about to hit the Pentagon. And whereas the 9/11 Commission report says that they didn't learn about it until 9:36 and therefore didn't have time to react, Mineta's testimony says that they knew about it certainly by 9:25. And so in both cases, the 9/11 Commission report simply omits Mineta's testimony, which is clearly outrageous, but that shows the power of Philip Zelikow as executive director. He just could delete anything that didn't fit the official account.
I've been speaking this morning with David Ray Griffin. He is the author of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, and previously, in the same vein, The New Pearl Harbor. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, David.
You're welcome, Andrew. Thank you.